Hi. I've decided to make an aftercare audio to pair with any future audios that I might release, as well as the previous ones that are already out there. I've noticed that a lot of the scripts I've been filling are really wonderful and charming and sexy, but sometimes they end a little abruptly, and I don't want to leave folks hanging who might need some aftercare. Because I think, like, an audio doesn't have to be crazy aggressive or very kinky or intense to warrant some aftercare. There should always be some kind of aftercare when you're masturbating, when you're hanging out with a partner, or, you know, even watching porn, because sometimes it can get pretty intense and vulnerable. So I'm just here to provide this kind of general one, nothing too specific, just me talking and kind of exploring aftercare with you. My idea of aftercare is getting in touch with yourself, being grounded, getting affirmation that you're safe, and that there's no judgment in how you might feel, what you might be going through, and just making sure that you are in a good space after leaving whatever audio you might be coming back from. So the first 5 minutes, I think it's just going to be me kind of talking about the importance of aftercare and letting you know that you are safe and that you're okay. So we might do some grounding exercises like deep breathing. And then I might move on to reading a bit from a book that I really enjoy and always grounds me and is very comforting. And then we'll kind of end with just some words of affirmation. So I'm really glad you're here with me today, and I hope you are getting comfortable. And yeah, I think we'll have some fun. So I'm not going to take credit for how I'm about to define aftercare. I'm getting it completely from this Instagram that I follow. It's called Queers X Therapy. You should definitely follow them. They are super great in providing some really sex positive education and resources. And I don't know, I like their aesthetic. When describing what aftercare means, they talk about that it's the time and attention for yourself and your partners after being intimate. So that intimacy can look like having sex with them, you know, masturbating on your own or watching porn or whatever form of intimacy. And it's really important to have, just to make sure that it gives us all the gift of being able to be more thoughtful of how we take care of ourselves and our partners. This is really important because it has a lot of great benefits, such as continuing pleasure and intimacy after touch, shows kindness and respect towards oneself and our partners, and it honors the vulnerability of sex, which is what I really think is the takeaway for me, at least. You know, listening to these audios, you get really immersed in something and you are exploring your sexuality with someone you don't even know. And that can be a really vulnerable experience and can bring up some tough things. So I think aftercare is especially important in this situation. So in terms of aftercare, it can kind of split into like three different categories. So you know, everyone has a different, you know, post-sexy ritual. I hope, if you've ever had sex, go pee afterwards, please, please do. But other than peeing after sex, aftercare can kind of go into three different categories. One is physical, emotional, and then social. Physical refers to our body's needs. So whether that's, you know, going pee, which you should, you want pee, right? You want to pee. Drinking a glass of water, getting something to eat, You know, maybe getting some fresh air because it got hot and steamy. Who knows? Second one, emotional aftercare, refers to our mind's needs. That might mean taking some deep breaths, which is what we're going to do in a bit. Just sitting with the feelings that are coming up afterwards and, you know, not judging them. It's where mindfulness comes in. And finally, social aftercare refers to what our spirit needs. This can mean like a lot of things. You know, it could be words of affirmation from your partner or to yourself, getting some snuggles, debriefing about what just went down. So yeah, I think kind of exploring what your aftercare menu kind of looks like. For me, physical is I go pee, clearly. Yes, I'm a big fan of peeing after sex. I don't know if you can tell. Emotional, I really like, I definitely do some like deep breathing and stretching afterwards. Like not major, you know, downward dog after sex or something, but I definitely will, you know, feel out my body afterwards. And then social, I love debriefing. I really like kind of talking about what just happened with my partner or, you know, reflecting on my own. So that's my menu. What's yours? Maybe you can think about that. So this next part of the audio is going to be a mindful breathing exercise. Again, I'm not taking credit for this because I'm literally reading it off of a script I found online. Start by settling into a comfortable position and allow your eyes to close or keep them open with a softened gaze. I'd like you to begin by taking several long, slow, deep breaths, breathing fully and exhaling fully. Breathe in through your nose and out through your nose or mouth. Allow your breath to find its own natural rhythm. Bring your full attention to noticing each in-breath as it enters your nostrils, travels down your lungs, and causes your belly to expand. And notice each out-breath as your belly contracts and air moves up through the lungs, back up through the nostrils or mouth. Invite your full attention to flow with your breath. Notice how the inhale is different from the exhale. You may experience the air as cool as it enters your nose and warm as you exhale. As you turn more deeply inwards, begin to let go of noises around you. If you're distracted by sounds in the room, simply notice them. And then bring your attention back to your breath. Simply breathe as you breathe, not striving to change anything about your breath. Don't try to control your breath in any way. Observe and accept your experience in this moment without judgment. Paying attention to each inhale and exhale. If your mind wanders to thoughts, plans, or problems, simply notice your mind wandering. Watch the thought as it enters your awareness as neutrally as possible. Then, practice letting go of it as though it were a leaf floating down a stream. In your mind, place each thought that arises on a leaf and watch as it floats out of sight down the stream. Then, bring your attention back to your breath. Your breath is an anchor you can return to over and over again when you become distracted by thoughts. Notice when your mind has wandered. Observe the types of thoughts that hook or distract you. Noticing is the richest part of learning. With this knowledge, you can strengthen your ability to detach from the thoughts and mindfully focus your awareness back on the qualities of your breath. Practice coming home to the breath with your full attention, watching the gentle rise of your stomach on the in-breath and the relaxing letting go on the out-breath. Allow yourself to be completely with your breath as it flows in and out. You might become distracted by pain or discomfort in the body, or twitching or itching sensations that draw your attention away from the breath. You may even notice feelings arising, perhaps sadness or happiness, frustration or contentment. Acknowledge whatever comes up, including thoughts or stories about your experience. Simply notice where your mind went without judging it, pushing it away, clinging to it, or wishing it were different, and simply refocus your mind and guide your attention back to your breath. Breathe in and breathe out. Follow the air all the way in and all the way out. Mindfully be present by moment with your breath. If your mind wanders away from your breath, just notice without judging it. Be it a thought, emotion, or sensation that hooks your attention, and gently guide your awareness back to your breathing. As this practice comes to an end, slowly allow your attention to expand and notice your entire body, and then beyond your body to the room you are in. When you're ready, open your eyes and come back fully alert and awake. The breath is always with you as a refocusing tool to bring you back to the present moment. I'd like you to set your intention to use this practice through your day to help cultivate and strengthen attention. I hope you enjoyed that mindfulness exercise. I don't practice mindfulness enough, so I'm really excited that I could practice that with you today. The next few minutes, I'm just going to be reading from one of the books that I have still not read. I really need to. It's called The Children of Dune. I think it's the third Dune novel by Frank Herbert. I'm going to read the first few pages. It's a pretty dense novel, and I don't think any of us wants to sit through a whole chapter of me reading this. I mean, at least I don't. A spot of light appeared on the deep red rug which covered the raw rock of the cave floor. The light glowed without apparent source, having its existence only on the red fabric surface woven of spice fiber. A questing circle about 2 centimeters in diameter, it moved erratically, now elongated, now an oval. Encountering the deep green side of a bed, it leaped upward, folded itself across the bed surface. Beneath the green covering lay a child with rusty hair, face still round with baby fat. A generous mouth, a figure lacking the lean sparseness of Fremen tradition, not as water fat as an off-worlder. As the light passed across closed eyelids, the small figure stirred. The light winked out. Now, there was only the sound of even breathing and, faint behind it, a reassuring drip, drip, drip of water collecting in a catch basin from the windstill far above the cave. Again, the light appeared in the chamber, slightly larger, a few lumens brighter. This time there was a suggestion of source and movement to it. A hooded figure filled the arched doorway at the chamber's edge, and the light originated there. Once more, the light flowed around the chamber, testing, questing. There's a sense of menace in it, a reckless dissatisfaction. It avoided the sleeping child, paused on the gridded air inlet at an upper corner, probed a bulge in the green and gold wall hangings, which softened the enclosing rock. Presently, the light winked out. The hooded figure moved with a betraying swish of fabric, took up a station at one side of the arched doorway. Anyone aware of the routine here in Sikh Tabor would have suspected at once that this must be Stilgar, Naib of the Siach, guardian of the orphan twins, who would one day take up the mantle of their father, Paul Muad'Dib. Stilgar often made night inspections of the twins' quarters, always going first to the chamber where Ghanima slept, and ending here in the adjoining room, where he could reassure himself that Leto was not threatened. "I'm an old fool," Stilgar thought. He fingered the cold surface of the light projector before restoring it to the loop in his belt sash. The projector irritated him even while he depended upon it. The thing was a subtle instrument of the Imperium, a device to detect the presence of large living bodies. It had shown only the sleeping children in the royal bedchambers. Stilgar knew his thoughts and emotions were like the light. He could not still a restless inner projection. Some greater power controlled that movement. It projected him into this moment where he sensed the accumulated peril. Here lay the magnet for dreams of grandeur throughout the known universe. Here lay temporal riches, secular authority, and that most powerful of all mystic talismans, the divine authenticity of Muad'Dib's religious bequest. In these twins, Leto and his sister Ghanima, an awesome power focused. While they lived, Muad'Dib, though dead, lived in them. These were not merely 9-year-old children. They were a natural force, objects of veneration and fear. They were the children of Paul Atreides, who had become Muad'Dib, the Mahdi of all the freemen. Muad'Dib had ignited an explosion of humanity. Freemen had spread from this planet in a jihad carrying their forever across the human universe in a wave of religious government whose scope and ubiquitous authority had left its mark on every planet. Yet these children of Muad'Dib's are flesh and blood, Stilgar thought. Two simple thrusts of my knife would still their hearts. Their water would return to the tribe. His wayward mind fell into turmoil at such a thought. So that is that was only like a page. It's a really dense book, but we're coming to the end of the aftercare audio, and I wanted to end it with some words of affirmation. I think you're really cool. I don't know you and you don't know me, but I can tell that the fact that you're looking for some aftercare and you're taking the time to listen to my content and be supportive and open to a different kind of audio genre, I think that's really cool. I know life can be really difficult sometimes, and it's hard to figure out where you fit in the world and understanding who you are. And to be honest, I think sexuality is a great place to start, and I'm really excited for you. I'm really excited for the things you're going to do, the people you're going to meet, and the places you'll go. You know, like that Dr. Seuss book. But at the end of the day, you are safe, you're loved, and you are your grounding anchor. You've got this. Whatever it is, you've got it. Anyways, I'm really glad you got to sit with me to talk about aftercare, do some deep breathing, and even read a book. Now you go out there and you fucking rock that shit, okay? I'll talk to you later. Stay safe.